Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the LOA Blend, and this is Alisa. Liz hasn't called in yet, so I'm not sure what the situation is on her end, but oh, here she is. Let's see. Hey.
Hi. Sorry about that. They wouldn't let me through.
It happens sometimes.
It happens. Yes, it happens.
They don't like you.
That's all right. I don't like them. Ooh. So did you do the intro?
I did.
Okay, hey.
Liz is here. Liz is here.
I'm
it can
here.
Actually be a blend.
We're blending it. Blending it on a Thursday or Tuesday? Thursday.
It's Thursday. I know.
Right? It's Thursday, right? Now, are you out of town? Did you leave?
Not yet. I'm going to leave after the show today.
Okay.
And head to Charleston. So,
wonderful.
Yes.
And
yes.
I hear, I've only seen like photo ads of it, but it looks very irreverent. And maybe it's Showtime, HBO, I'm not sure, but there's a show that I think they're shooting in Charleston called Vice Principals.
I heard that.
Yeah, you will. Very irreverent, and I think it really kind of makes pokes fun at school administration. And I think some fairly well-known people are in it. Anyway, it looks like it could be very, very funny. And I'm pretty sure that they shoot in Charleston. So I've just been seeing little things about it. So, yeah, I'm sure you're going to hear about it. But it looks like...
Principles.
I'm looking it up right now
on IMDb.
Yeah, I think... I love it. I think it looks like a show that I would definitely check out. Is that what it's called, Vice Principals?
Yeah, it's filming in Charleston. Yeah, you're right.
Ah, there you go. See, on the pole.
Through HBO.
It's HBO. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, because they go there. Sometimes they go a little, you know, too deep, no pun intended, with some of these shows. Even on Netflix with Orange is the New Black, which I have not watched the latest season. The last season, I basically had to have, like, my hand over my eyes for, like, half of it. Because
oh, really?
It's, and I'm no prude, but I'm like, okay, I get it. I mean, whose fantasy are you trying to fulfill, people? Get it. I really, like, they go in.
Oh,
like that,
my gosh.
Any way that you'd like. I'm even noticing just on regular TV, you know, after 9 o'clock or whatever, it's extremely graphic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the kids are getting educated. So, okay. I mean, I'd rather see sexuality being graphic as opposed to violence. But
violence is all too common. But yeah,
violence
you're right.
is
no,
so
please.
Freaking common. And this is even I'm talking about it because it's not common in Europe. It's like you see a commercial for orange juice, and you know everybody's naked. So
right.
Seriously, it's like at 9 o'clock in the morning. People are just born into a culture to love their bodies and embrace their sexuality. And no matter how allegedly progressive we pretend to be or whatever, it's still part of the energy of the area that we have established our roots or where our parents established and our ancestors, depending on where you grow up. For us, it's our parents because we're first generation, but for many, many people, this is how it's been for multiple generations. Although the United States is a very young country, those roots run deep just in terms of cultural norms in Europe and in many places around the world. it's not such the case. And then the irony is that everybody looks to the U.S. for their entertainment.
Well, we are very entertaining. Everything has to be entertainment. Everything has to be entertainment.
Yes, not that this is an NPR show and we're going to get all political, but, you know, just even what's happening now, which I find that, okay, this must be a Spinal Tap. You know what I mean? Like, it just must be like, okay, this is like a joke, right?
Right.
Like those movies that are like pretending to be a documentary, but they're like Borat, you know? Like, it's like a Borat.
Mockumentaries.
That's the word. Yeah, mockumentary. right. Yeah, it's like, you know what? It's perfect. That's the perfect word. Thank you for saying that. Yes, it's as if our culture has turned into an actual mockumentary that's not a mockumentary.
Yeah.
Well put. Well put. And that just and allowing... for the reaction, the global reaction of being mocked with good reason, and then just regardless of that, I mean, not that we want to get into politics because we don't do that on this show, but just even with the chaos, and we talk about this all the time, the exhaustion of what we have to contend with in our personal lives and then in the world outside and then on a much broader, how do we keep from ignoring the and mocking the inner core of who we are? You know what I mean? Like, we can't become our own mockumentary because we're buying into it and we're dismissing who we are. It's very interesting. It's a great time to be alive, and it's a very challenging time to be alive. And it's difficult.
Well, the flash that just came to mind was really how individuals, at least in our country, we want to be able to express ourselves, but they're not really original thoughts, right? They're just it's just because we see so much. We're so much visual stimulation,
right?
That that's what they know. So that's what they. That's we all try to do something similar because it's recognizable. It's a reference point. So you know, there's an understanding there. But you know, when art, it's because that would be art, I guess. Art mimics life, and life mimics art.
Right.
So we kind of loop ourselves around. There isn't any very little original thought that we get to see to really throw us off, you know, or to make us pause and think.
Exactly. Right.
You know, what is mainstream or what has decided to be mainstream? Because, you know, there are always these little decisions. There's always somebody above and, you know, the next level up who's like, well, I don't think I want, you know, so-and-so to see this. Or I think this is what people need to see. And there are a lot of factors for that. Some of it, most of it, I would think, has more to do with how much money you're going to make.
Absolutely.
Versus what moral lessons are we actually trying to impart on the people that is our target audience. So that's why we don't have any, we have a lot of reboots. We have a lot of, you know, it's a classic. It's only been, you know, 15 years. It's a classic. It's only been 5 years. So we're going to redo it again, you know, and maybe have a different twist. But it's not as original, and you're just sort of driving home a point that was already driven home years ago,
right.
But just to a newer audience. So it's difficult because we don't always know what it is we like to express. And if these are our only examples, I mean, this is like what a philosophy major talks about a lot, you know, especially I think if you deal with, you know, Plato and Aristotle and the responsibility of education, there's a whole, I don't want to get too much into my academics, but, you know, the allegory of the cave,
Right.
Is something where the idea here is that here's somebody who has been tied, pretty much kept prisoner in a cave, and the only thing this person knows is what's in front of him, like flickering on the wall.
Wow.
So these are not even actual images. I mean, they're not actual things. They're just images of things.
Right.
And so if that's all he knows, so if he ever is somehow freed from that cave, how is he going to take into account the actual things and not just the shadows of what was shown to him?
Right.
It's a big learning curve. And so if you think of that, the whole, you know, allegory of the cave and just seeing shadows,
right,
and looking at the idea of a TV screen and
right,
just
that's
seeing shadows.
Shadow and light, exactly. Go ahead, girl.
I'm just, you know, I don't think I appreciated it back when I was in college.
But it's so relevant. It's so relevant now. And everybody has their own definition of what their learning curve is. And then for divisiveness to be created because you don't like somebody else's learning curve, well, if you were born into privilege, then you had a lot of access to your learning curve. And if you were in a hovel in the metaphorical, you know, cave, you know, wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep. How are we supposed to work with the same learning curve? There you go.
That is why the whole idea of who's in power, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever's in power decides what that learning curve will be, you know, whether you're on it or not. Some people never leave that cave. You know, some people never get rescued.
Right.
And some people are thrown back into the cave, you know. I mean, it's just a really interesting way of looking at things because so much of what we see really, I mean, it isn't real.
Right.
So much of it isn't. Yeah, they're just impressions. And our brain doesn't really know the difference.
Absolutely.
Our brain can be stimulated with these images. So there is a lot of power in what you choose to focus on. There's a lot of power in what you choose to take in. And if you don't ask more questions or if you don't, you know, look behind the screen,
right.
You know, how many references do we have along the way of finding out what's real? We don't always know, but we have to keep asking those questions. And I think this is a reflection of what's happening recently where so much has been pulled back.
And
it's not pretty. You know, it's not pretty.
Right.
Because we all have to be accountable, be held accountable for what we've allowed, say, for example, what we've allowed or maybe what we just haven't even known about, you know, and now we have to look at what does that mean for us. And that means, you know, it's not just black people and it's not just white people. It's never black and white, only black and white. But it's like the extremes of the levels of fear of what we don't understand. And so if you're not able to look at it more objectively and really look behind what's being shown and keep asking and keep digging, then your fear will stop you at a certain point. Your fear will stop you. That's where your learning curve stops. And then you decide to stay back in the cave maybe it's a bigger cave. You know, there's something that you'll adjust to. And I mean, We are all trying to figure that stuff out. I mean, I've read some really interesting articles in the last few days.
Yeah.
Of people admitting, you know, what they don't know, what they're not even aware of.
Uh-huh.
It's put into their consciousness and it's shown in such a way that it gets their attention and either horrifies them or makes them angry. And hopefully the next step is they ask more questions and they dig a little deeper. But if you don't have a core of understanding or a basis of what you think you're all about, then it's open season, you know, for influences that will say, no, this is what
way
you
to put
to
it.
Think.
Mm-hmm.
So who knew
open season.
Go back into philosophy.
No, that's great though. No. And open season, it could be open for anything.
I mean, and there are people who, who said, well, that's why, you know, I whatever, you know, I was taught, then that's what I believe. And I'm like, okay, but, you know, you do realize if you are in the majority, then what you've been taught has kept you in the majority or makes you want to be in the majority because that's what majority thinks.
Right.
The majority rules, right? So if it's a popular belief, so we kind of loop back to what we're talking about with how people want to express themselves. They don't want to have, you always have that one friend who's like so left field, so obscure, but brilliant. That you're like, I like it, but it takes too much work to kind of get to where you are to understand what that reference was. Like I should have read 500 other books besides the comic books I was reading or whatever, you know, to understand that reference. So, you know, there has to be some middle ground, which it's not just so, just as I'm just parroting back what I know, what I was taught, but so you have your basis of what you were taught, but then you normally do go beyond that to really see, you know, is it true? And I think we need to do that every so often, not just, does it happens in a big way, like in your teens, it happens in a big way, it happens, so again, when you get into your early 20s, and again in your story, I think it just happens in these bigger chunks of time. But
these
overall,
milestones. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, that never stops. That should never stop.
I agree.
You know,
have that curiosity and that.
Yeah, because so much has been thrown in front of us. Yeah.
Right. There's so much to learn,
so
there's so much.
Much
to explore. And,
mm-hmm.
I think the lack of a flexible mind and a flexible body, you know, we have to keep those things flexible to endure, to stay young, to stay open. And
mm-hmm.
I think flexibility is such a key word.
Yeah.
And to be open and to be open to what's out there and to learn and be exposed to other ways of viewing and thinking about different things. It's progress, you know, and you can't make this stuff up. I mean, the madness that can go on in a lifetime where it
mm-hmm.
feels like that you've lived multiple lifetimes in one.
Yeah.
I know I do. Yeah, and completely. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Well, you know, if you think about multiple lifetimes at once, if you think about it being a multiverse, and you think about us being in different dimensions,
girl,
you know, you probably are.
Perfect. Perfect segue. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you probably are living multiple lives at once. I mean, when you go to sleep, you dream you're in a different plane.
That's true. Yep.
And who knows that when you go into meditation, you're in a different plane. A lot of these, I can't even get into the concept, but I can only imagine that a lot of these supposedly parallel lives intersect at different points. So maybe it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. you, but it's different you. And the people that are always, have always been in your lives in certain capacities are now, take a different form, but it's still essentially them. Who knows how many things you're trying to work out? I mean, why don't it just be singular? Why would it just be the one life?
Clearly it isn't.
Right. Well, yeah.
Because it's just a madhouse out there. I mean, it's just a mad. It's just such beauty and magnificence and grace and then such squalor and incomprehensible pain. So, it's all about working. It's like it's the most extreme virtual classroom. And then all these things are, I mean, the future really is now. We in this lifetime, mm-hmm. we have lived to see the future that was always at this healthy distance because, we wouldn't see it in this lifetime. But look at that, you know, cars are flying and, okay, that's cool. Like, the future is now. And that's what I think what's so unique about this particular incarnation, that we are living to see the shifts of consciousness. And this is why so much is being exposed, and this is why it's such a chronically impactful time right now to be alive, to be a witness to all that has gone before us, and to really answer that question, so what are you going to do about it? Because we can't sweep, there's no more room under the rug. to sweep. That's what it is. There's no room left to bear. The ostrich, the neck broke. You know, there's too much dirt under the rug. That's what it is. It's like check yourself. This is the era of check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for the faint of heart. And it's brutal. And there's no logic or justice. This is something that's completely illogical. This cannot be put into an algorithm. It's incomprehensible, but this is what it is. And now you have people, you know, walking into buildings because they're trying to catch a Pokemon. So
I think that's been very interesting.
What the hell?
As all the stuff is happening, they released this game. And I never even knew what the hell that was about back in the day. I was never a Pokemon, you know, fan or even a subscriber to any of it.
Right.
So it's a little outside of my generation. But that was what I was seeing on my Facebook feed throughout the day. The last few days has been this, you know, my younger friends are talking about this in addition to all their political leanings and issues that, you know, it's been going on. And to some degree, you can definitely see which generation can really dive into that, and then you have the rest of the generations kind of making fun of it.
Right, but there's 40-year-olds doing it too.
That's interesting.
There's a lot of new Pokemon fans because of this game. And you know, on one hand, you could say, well, there's a lightness to it because it's merging fantasy with your actual environment, but of course, you know, after one day of being released, some very smart hackers are using it to, you know, to
gather information
to crime.
So.
People getting robbed now. Well, you know what? You got to be have your wits about you. You have to, no matter if you're playing a virtual game or you're just taking a walk or you're in the car or whatever, you got to be plugged in and. Intelligence, it's like source energy. Intelligence can be used as dictated by the law of free will. Well, there you go. So my free will is I will jump you because you're playing Pokemon and you probably have some disposable income.
Right.
You know? So that's intelligence being used for gain. We can't judge if it's good or it's bad because source and intelligence and universal energy are impersonal forces that are there to be used or misused, and you know, however that you choose to look at it. I teach a lot in the summer, and one of my classes that I have coming up in August is a comedy workshop for young professional actors. And I already said yesterday in a different class that I was teaching, I said, you know, when we're going to do comedy, you already know we're going to do a sketch about Pokemon. I already know I'm going to do a comedy sketch about, Pokemon Go, I think it's called. Crazy.
I appreciate that. There's, you know, like you said, there is a lightness to it. But, you know, just a lot of it, you still just pay attention. I mean, this is, it's entertainment. And we apparently need so much.
Right.
Yes. So much to be said for the need for entertainment. I mean, even sports, that's entertainment. That's always been entertainment.
Listen.
You know.
The lion in the Coliseum. That was entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And that was, you know, that was basically prisoners.
Oh, my God.
And slaves, right?
Too, people.
Prisoners and slaves being, and some of them were like, I mean, it's almost like, you know, if you think of like a more current thing of the Hunger Games, I mean, that's like, it's a different take on that, where it's for their entertainment. I mean, they televise that stuff, it's entertainment. It's for other people to enjoy the killing or the elimination of other
for the privilege.
People, you know,
see, nothing's changed. Well, I've been saying this for 100 years. Human nature doesn't change, technology does. Nothing's changed. That's been, even before recorded time, you know, it's just that the haves and the have-nots, the privileged, the less than privileged, nothing's changed. And like I had mentioned on Tuesday's show, the post that I was so happy to see, because I really believe this, that things aren't getting worse, they're getting uncovered.
Yeah.
That comforts me in some odd way.
Well, and so to go on that, you're right, you know, in a sense, you know, nothing has changed. And so we still go back to this, you know, when you get to a certain level in your society, and this is our society as a whole, or Western society, where we are so bored with our everyday lives.
Right.
That we have now come up with other ways to entertain ourselves.
Right.
And depending on how you view others in the pecking order of things, like their lives are a little more dispensable than yours. Like you wouldn't want to get your hands dirty, you know? Oh, no. But if they want to go ahead and do it, go ahead. You know, then maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll put my attention to that. Maybe I'll put my money towards that because it's fun for me to do that. It's very interesting, the things that we would take for granted when we reach a certain level. You know, maybe we're not having to try so hard for other stuff. Like the basic things, and then some have been met. And now we have this extra time and extra money, and we're bored. And right. So this is time and again what we've come up with are, you know, not always harmful, but they could be. You know, there's always that potential. You know, just like anything that seems really cool, you know, you can kind of flip it and maybe take it down the road and say, oh, so that's, you know, that's why there was some caution about doing this. That's why some people wanted parameters set for what could happen, because some people can see. Some people, you know, some people look at that worst case scenario, and at some point maybe it shows up. It's like having mom always tell you what's going to happen, and you know, mom is always right. So it's just that level of understanding. But in every society, and you know, we talk about the fall of Rome, all these great societies that expanded in their heyday and you know, created a lot of great things that we still use today, and we've built on top of that. And so now we look at us and we're at that, I feel, you know, we're at that level. That's why this stuff is happening. We're at
right.
that level where we've reached this point of we've just, you know, we have become so bored and complacent. And not that everyone's having everything they've ever wanted and it's perfect. It's not even that. It's just we always want to do something more. We're always, you know, to that degree, we're kind of curious. So what is curiosity? What does that do for us? It stimulates us, right? So we have different things that stimulate us. And for a lot of people, there's a pretty wide area of stuff that can stimulate, but, you know, doesn't really harm them directly, you know? Until like years later when you've got carpal tunnel syndrome or you know, you have bad posture
right.
because you've been sitting in front of the computer, you know, so these are the side effects of having the luxurious life. You know, you're
right.
fat,
you have
you know,
gout.
Right. You got gout, you have bad health, you know, because you've eaten, you know, really nice things or really rich food. So yeah, but when we get that to that level of the people being so bored that other things are taken for granted, like other people,
yes.
Their lives,
yeah,
viewing them as less than. I mean, that's a big deal.
Huge.
So, anyway, Pokemon.
Pokemon. I'm gonna do a comedy sketch. I did one about the debates between the. It was so cute because it's all kids. Like, so they're anywhere between age 6 and 20, and we did between the Republicans and the Democrats, and I had a 6-year-old little girl who had such an interesting face. I put her in I put her hair in a ponytail. I put her in a oversized blue boy's blazer, and she was the best Bernie Sanders. It was so funny. And then I have twins, 10-year-old twins. Mm. So it was Hillary and Hillary 2.0. So it was Hillary and her robot. I mean, I go crazy with these kids. It's so much fun. And we do sketch comedy based on topical humor. and the both party. We had Chris Christie had this great girl that she said that she little character actress, and you know, little chubby, and she and it's improvised comedy. So I build the shell of the sketch, but they have to improvise based on what's going on. So when it was time for her speech, she talked about how they never built her favorite ice cream stand after the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, but in that Chris Christie voice. And then they had to do a dance-off to see who was going to see. And because, you know, I kind of skewed it the way that I, you know, I wanted. So, of course, little Bernie Sanders was the winner. That was fixed.
But like it was, so many things, anyway.
Like so many things. Even those little comedy sketches are fixed, and it's great to use humor and to embrace the insight of kids, creative kids. I mean, kids are so. I have to tell you, and it's great because I'm not talking about mine too personally. I'm talking about the kids that I interact with as an audition coach and an acting instructor, and. And the kids that I teach, they're at the professional level. So, you know, a lot of times they'll come late to class because they're at an audition. Oh, I just came back from my audition for School of Rock. I'm like, okay, great. So they're so advanced and so intelligent that I want to hear what they have to say. And I want to push them and encourage them past what they think is their point of potential, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing. Like I do at the end of the day, with all this heavy talk that you know, we've been having, I do have hope for the minds of the future. And that's the one thing we're so quick to just sort of dismiss youth. These kids are there are a lot of smart kids out there.
Yeah,
there are a lot of brilliant minds. That gives me hope too. So, on that note.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that because, you know, we exploit so much of our youth anyway. And again, we talk about entertainment. And
right.
I'm a big sports fan. I've been watching it. And, I hate that I'm going to be kind of removed from the Olympics this year because I don't know how much they'll be able to stream while
when you're away. Yeah.
And I don't even know if I want to necessarily be watching TV while I'm on a cruise. So
hello.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I watched the gymnastics, the Olympic trials, team trials for gymnastics. And back in the day, that was the sport that got me hooked on the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that and probably, you know, diving, because my mom loved the diving and it's fascinating. But
it is, yeah.
With the Olympics, you know, when I was, in elementary school and stuff was happening. And it was just amazing to see because, you know, these were like little girls. You know, they looked tiny, strong, but tiny. And they're doing all these things. And I thought, you know, when I was a little kid, that was so cool. Not that I ever wanted to do that because who wants to wear a leotard? That's just crazy. But not for me, thank you. Unless I get pinches and chafes and all the wrong places. So,
but
I appreciated what they were doing.
She went there. Okay, go ahead.
Just saying.
Just saying.
But it was not, and it wasn't just, you know, women's gymnastics. It was men's gymnastics, too. I thought all of it was just really, really cool. So when I, you know, fast forward now to, you know, years later and, I'm watching the gymnasts, and I look at them. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's so. I feel like it's like a really uptight kind of sport. Like the expressions, like they have all these extra movements, and I understand that there's an artistic part of it. That they're being judged on everything. They're being judged on everything, and I think I just look at that now so differently. I still, to some degree, enjoy it, but not the same way. Like when I was a little kid, I see, I think the oldest person on that team is 22.
Wow.
And, yeah. And that it's definitely for the young. And I'll think about how many of them are, if they're retiring, because I did some, you know, had to do some Wikipedia research on the people from last Olympics. and some of them retired in the next couple years. They retired to go to college.
Oh, my God.
And that's what they had to do. I mean, that's the sort of stuff either you're, you know, and I'm like, oh, I just can't imagine. So, you know, we see this a lot, and, you know, like in the entertainment industry, like with actors, you get these child actors that, you know, peak. Wait, and we've talked about this before, where they peak at, you know, 12 or whatever. And then once they get beyond that cute phase, to transition into something that's a little more their style or their current age, and to do that, it's not always so easy.
No.
So a lot of them may have peaked in their teens, and now they got, you know, drug issues in their adult time. And so I feel the same type of thing with these athletes, and how many people we churn out. I mean, for the Fairweather fan, we only watch the Olympics every 4 years. You know, you may not, you know, keep up to date with these, because some of these sports are so obscure that you only really can see them during the Olympics, you know, unless you're like crazy sports fan and you have these special channels for, you know, ESPN 96 or whatever.
Yeah.
For curling, right? Which,
right, what the hell is that?
That's the thing.
Is that about hair? Is that about hair? Oh, it's on the ice.
Yeah,
okay.
No. Right. Yeah, it's not a Bravo TV show. It's not that. It's, you know, it's a sport. So, but you think most, and even track and field. I caught some of the Olympic qualifying team trials for, you know, track and field, and there are people who were in their early 30s. And I'm like, wow, yeah, her last hurrah, you know, his last hurrah.
Wow.
What? Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, there's a shelf life for that, because you can't compete at the level where the whole world will be watching you past a certain age.
Right.
And we wonder why we can't age gracefully.
No,
you know?
We can't.
We wonder why it's hard to accept. You know, that's why there is a big business for, you know, the cutting and pasting and all the other stuff that we have to do, the coloring, all of that.
Right.
And so you don't have your reality has already been warped.
Yep.
Because all you've been watching are a bunch of young people
Right.
who are in extreme physical condition, and you're never going to be that person, you know, because who wants to do this? If you look at their daily lives, beyond this particular competition, you know, they are working their butts off, and it is very limiting.
Right.
And they do have people they have to answer to. It's not like, yeah, I think I'm gonna jog for a little bit, but then I'm going to sit and play Pokemon Go. You know, that is not what they're doing. But they're sacrificing. They're doing a lot of sacrificing.
Sacrifice.
So it's so interesting. We don't, our idea of how we reach that, I mean, I think people to some degree can appreciate it, but you know, they don't really see all of that because they wouldn't have the patience for it. You know,
right.
That's why you get these stories, especially now you see them a lot if you follow the Olympics at all. You'll see these stories about, you know, America and the team, and it'll be all these stories will suck you in and get you to think, oh, I really want to support these people. And it's true, because everybody, I mean, even Hope Solo, who some people think as a, you know, U.S. goalie, that she's a monster, you know, because her off-field antics, and, you know, she's had a rough life, and she's a little rough around the edges to some degree, but she's also, like, one of the most prolific and respected goalkeepers in terms of how she does her job, because she is pretty darn good at it. So you get some of these people who, you know, they're not all squeaky clean, just like our politicians aren't squeaky clean. Everyone has other stuff that's happening with them. So again, our reality is like, this is a story we're going to spin so people can, you know, can buy in and they'll watch. Maybe they'll buy some team gear. And it's just so interesting how things are constructed. And again, if you don't ask these questions and make your own decisions, you know, and you have to keep digging. You can't just do a Wikipedia search and say, okay, well, that's how that person is. That's what I know. That's how it's been. It is written that is how this person is. We have so much more to look at, and you can't get so distracted, right? I mean, some of it is just, you know, you're not going to do a Google search on everything that you're ever interested in. No, because that's another distraction in and of itself. That's like extreme doubt in making your own choices. But to understand that not everything that is given to you you know, is free and clear of stuff. Like, you have
right.
to understand where it comes from. Why was it presented in such a way? I mean, just ask questions, not necessarily be like skeptical of everything and, you know, I don't trust you all, but just to say, well, let me ask a little bit more. And then that's an art and a skill that we still have to learn. Sometimes it's not that necessarily people are trying to take advantage of you, but it's more of these are the goods and services they're providing.
Uh-huh.
It comes with all this. If it's not what you want, then you need to know that that's not what you want.
Yes.
You know, it's never that extreme of, oh my God, they're out to get me. I mean, if you
right.
want to be gotten, you will.
right.
But it's so interesting because we're all doing it. You know, we're all trying to get that attention and, you know, buy my product or buy my service or, you know, work with me to achieve something. And, you know, they're not going to be clones of you. And that's probably a really good thing. It's a good thing that we don't have a lot of the same people.
We have enough.
Right. You just gotta make it work.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God.
I wanted to say hello to.
Say hello. Go say who's listening to us.
People in the chat room. We had we have Raven. I know Jay was in there. Amish comedian. Hello, and guest 14. Hello. So hi to everyone, and to people listening. Hello to everybody. We're just kind of going off. You know, each other here on whatever's coming up. We were so tired. I know we were so tired the last show. I mean, I was like,
oh, please.
I'm...
Well, that's just when in doubt. Yeah, that's check that box for me. That's a pretty safe bet.
But this has been a really nice exercise because these are things that I've noticed and have put together and things have sort of clicked. It's like I said, you know, when you're talking, I'll get different flashes. And I'm like, oh, that's why I had to learn that in college, or that's why I read that
yeah.
book, or that's why watching that movie just turned my stomach. You know, even
right.
though it's a, you know, it's well received movie, it's based on a really great series. It's like, wow, you know, these are, and this is why violence is so easily accepted, at least in America,
right?
Over sexuality.
Yep.
Whereas it's very the opposite in Europe, for the most part.
Right.
You know, I don't know why it's so much easier to kill somebody or to show, you know, even in a regular like TV show.
Yep.
If you really wanted to do like a unscientific count, you know, a body count at any given TV show or injury. It's really interesting. No big deal.
Brutal.
No big deal.
And then with the video
game, someone showed a nipple.
Yeah.
Someone showed a nipple, and
oh,
the whole, you know, we got
the whole thing.
We got to ban it. You know, it's
yep.
It's really it's interesting what we get offended by.
It really is, and it's conditioning. It's
mm-hmm.
It's absolute conditioning. It's but you know there was a law that was. Reversed in New York in recent years about women going topless.
Mm.
So you can. She's like, okay, I'm gonna call my travel agent.
I'll be visiting. No,
I'm coming down, Mama. Okay, anyway.
Oh my goodness. Not that you're stereotyping at all. I'm just
not. Okay, let's. Yeah, you know what? You stereotype yourself, volleyball. Anyway. I don't have to do it for you. Anyway, I mean, right there. Anyway,
my goodness.
It's true. So early on when that, and I knew that there was talk about it, whatever, but I really wasn't paying too close attention. And then, like 2 years ago, I was walking around Fifth Avenue, and boom, there was this. woman who is making a statement, very well dressed, except she had nothing on above the waist. And I'm like, well, all right now.
You're like, that's a nice skirt.
I'm like, oh, all right now. And I'm like, wow. And then I saw in the news and all of that, and I think I think it was Demi Moore's daughter, one of them was walking around town making a statement, whatever, because that was like the thing to do back then. But now, mm-hmm. Times Square, which is the cesspool of New York City, all the, you know, it's tourist season all year round. Not it's out of groundswell now, but all year round, there's, you know, people in the way of me getting my errands done, but whatever. And and so in addition to all of the cartoon character people and the just the chaos and all that, now, because it's legal, there are groups, they're organized groups of women that are painted with body paint,
and
they're racking in the tourist dollars, and most of them are painted in red, white, and blue. For some reason, they've chosen a patriotic theme in their choice of body paint, and they are, you know what, and good for them. They're working the system. I'm not judging them. If anything, I'm like, work the system. Work the Pavlovian reaction that you're going to get from mostly, you know, these men from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And you work those tips, girl. They're not touching you, but they're taking a photo to show their friends that they're with the naked ladies in New York City.
Wow.
And who's to say that's not empowering? I think there's something, and not my way to empower myself, but you know what?
No, it's true.
They're feeding a family.
I mean, that, and I think it just, you know, the whole thing about being nude and just being, you know, open in that sense, in certain environments, like, you know, I think I mentioned years ago going to a women's music festival. And that is only allowed women there, and so
sorry,
I went and yeah well
sorry.
You know, serious. I went because there will be a bunch of naked women. No, that is not the case. But what's interesting is that there are people who you know, we're just out in the woods. I mean, it's basically just camping, and there
right.
are people who spent their entire time naked. And to me, I'm like, okay, you know, that's good. Good for you.
good for you.
Just,
yay.
Good for you.
Go team. You did a little cheer. Yes.
Go team.
Do
yes.
you.
Woohoo. But what's interesting is that most people think, oh, yeah, you know, because it is all body types. So once you get over one, your own
mm-hmm.
judgments
right.
of other people's
right.
body types and your own body
and
type.
And your own. Right.
Right, because there's a lot of that. I mean, that's what really happens is that you start thinking, oh, my God, why don't you put something on? Put some clothes on or something. But then you realize, you know, I'm being one being uptight. And just
exactly.
because I would choose not to do that, then that doesn't mean that this person shouldn't, because that's the environment we're in. And honestly,
right.
after, like, the second day,
you
know, I'm
off.
Like, no, I didn't, because
I wouldn't either, trust me.
I want to feel comfortable.
Thank you.
I don't need
no bugs crawling up places they don't need to be crawling up in. Hello.
Well, I'll also tell you, by the second day, you saw some people probably should have put sunscreen on if they weren't going to wear clothes. So it's, you know, summertime, so it's like, okay. So you get the freedom, but with freedom comes great responsibility, right?
There you go.
So,
right?
I mean, but it just took a while. It was a good experience to be in, because it wasn't like, you know, people think about nudist colonies, and like, oh, how cool would that be?
No.
And I'll tell you, to some degree, it is cool if you feel like you can be in that environment and appreciate that people, for some people, that's a big deal to be able to do that, to live that way, and to feel comfortable enough to be completely
yeah.
in the nude.
Right.
Because you know in the beginning there's going to be all these judgments just for you to do that. But let's be real. The people who are doing this are usually they're not athletes. They're not fashion models.
They're not cute.
You know,
like you're going to a nice restaurant and you just got pearls. You just got pearls on. That always makes me laugh. Like, you got the earrings, you got the pearls, and you forgot to get dressed.
Well, you know, they have accessories. Come on, accessories.
They have accessories. but usually you're like, we are a brave little bunny, aren't you?
But, you know, it's the same thing going to different countries, and there's like nude beaches, and there are certain beaches that are nude and certain beaches that are not. And it's really interesting. When we took our trip to the Caribbean, We went to a place they're like, oh yeah, there's a nude beach, and it was really funny. It was like, okay, you know, and you kind of look around, and you know, a bunch of old people in the nude. Just this is how it is. I'm like, well, you know, that's what this is a designated area for nude people. So if you've got an issue, then you need to get off that beach. You know,
exactly.
But it really does stretch you, because you know how judgmental you can be.
Yeah.
And then you realize these are people. They found this is their space for their time,
and that's
to express in this way and to be this way. And they went, they came all this way to do that. So let them do it. You know,
absolutely.
That's an option for them. That's an option for them, and they're taking it.
Yep.
I'm like, there is a lot of courage to do something like that, because it's not easy. Even when you're the one fully clothed and you opt to keep everything on, it's not easy, because it really brings you back to what are your own thoughts about your own self-image, about what you think you're allowed to do, and that what other people are going to think about you.
Right.
And when
and
you get past all that,
right.
and you're on vacation.
And you want to relax.
So,
like, you're dealing with all these core body shame issues, body dysmorphia. No, that's not vacation. That's like, you know, let me make an appointment and see my shrink again. Like, no, that's a whole rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
Well, so that's the sort of environment that I felt when I was at that festival. It's a 7-day festival. You can stay like one day or three. Then there's a whole system for that.
How long were you there?
Stay. I mean, I came up there with Anna and Stephanie, so I was there for
the whole time.
No, not everybody was naked the entire time.
No, but that's a lot. I mean, that's right there. That's a mockumentary right there.
A mockumentary.
Right there.
It was interesting to me. I mean, I had to get over that whole body image thing. Because even if you weren't naked the entire time or at all, when you had to shower, those are basically open air showers. So you had to either you did something, you know, there's maybe one stall that had a little makeshift curtain, but otherwise, you know.
So what did you do?
I took a shower.
Good
girl.
I had
to get clean. I took a shower.
Yeah, of course you did.
Know,
you had to work it out.
So, I mean, but you really had to. I mean, you really had to. And it was. It's, I think for people who, like, again, who are athletes and they're like, whatever, you know, you're in the locker room.
Yeah, it's like
the
locker room.
I hated that stuff.
Okay, I'm just going to let it all hang out and I'm going to let everybody know about it. I'm going to take up this whole bench. I'm going to bend over. I'm going to get my, I'm like, who is the, you know, you think only the guys do it? Like, you know, the boy, no. I've seen the girls and they, nope. And I'm like, really? Like, are you filming yourself for your YouTube channel? Like, why? What? Like, do you need to take the whole bench? There's, like, my locker is, like, in your little zone of, like, you know, close your legs and let me just get to my lock. Thanks. Okay. Thanks. It's funny.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Funny. You got to take up all that room? It's
yeah.
funny. Yeah, that whole, I don't like that whole, like, locker, like, communal behind the scenes, like, it's so fascinating. You kind of and what's so interesting about it too, it's that usually unless they're friends that are together or whatever, usually it's pretty silent. So it's almost like this silent, right? It's like this silent movie, but you watch and you're like, oh my God, and you know, like, everybody's story and no one's saying a word. Just based on how they're, like, managing, you know, I'm like in the corner, like, you know, trying to put my invisibility cloak on. So that I'm completely, you know, unnoticed, like in and out, boom, 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 boom. And then you have the one that I just mentioned that's all about, you know, letting the world know that she really is into her body and might be into yours too. And then there's the other one that is in the Kim K, you know, lookalike contest that has to do full hair and makeup and use every, you know, amenity that's there in the locker room, or the other one that's on the phone, and the other one that's doing work, and you're like, no, let me get up. This is not relaxing. Let me, like,
right.
Let me rinse off, throw my clothes on, you know, go to the bathroom stall, and I'll put my clothes on in there. Okay, something. Ooh,
yeah,
it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
It is. It is a whole thing, and you just never know. You never know what's. what's going to trigger? I mean, that's a trigger. That's certainly a trigger.
Yeah.
And so those are the situations, like, yeah, so for Americans, we're like, yeah, we don't really do the whole naked and, you know, be proud of yourself and preen, you know. Not that people preen necessarily, but there's definitely a discomfort level for us. And so when we're in those situations, going to nude beaches in different countries, like, oh, you're so uptight about it. And all the stuff comes out. I mean, I can hear, you know, my mom was like, oh, my God. My mom was appalled at my college graduation where when people crossed the stage, got their diploma, they unzipped their robe because it was hot. It's a black robe in May in the South.
In Georgia, yes.
We're outdoors. Yeah, we're outdoors, all the quad. So as soon as they got off the stage, they zipped, and some people were just wearing, like, you know, shorts and a T-shirt. You know, mom's like, oh, it's so, you know, I can't believe. I'm like, really? It's hot. You know?
And
like,
they had the outfit on. That was just what was under. It was proper protocol, decorum. And, you know, it's very interesting, too. It's like I don't watch these, but I just know peripherally. There are all these naked shows, though. It's like Naked and Afraid.
Right. Right.
So it's like these and I think what's interesting about that is that it really does strip you down raw and it's non-sexualized. I think that's very interesting. But then there's this other show which I have not watched. I've seen promos for it. Dating Naked. That.
Oh my gosh.
There's a show called Dating Naked, and two people go on a blind date, completely nude. Why? Mm. Why are you going to throw me out? You know, it's like Naked and Afraid. How about I'm clothed and terrified? Like, you know, I'm good.
Right.
I'm good. Like, I don't need to, like, another layer to my anxiety. Like, I got this. I'm already, like, freaked out. Just, you know, on a good day. On a good day, like, I'm totally freaked out. So, like, thank you. please. You know, and
so
it's almost
again,
like the homeless people must be like, you know what, this is like one, this is like, you know, we're like a step below you because we're really like homeless, almost naked, we're terrified, we're mentally ill, not getting our goods and our services, and you're doing a show about going on a date blind, or you're naked and afraid, how about live my life under this cardboard box?
Yeah.
It's almost offensive, really, to set up these conditions. Take that money and feed some people. Like, oh, my God.
Again, like, this is what we're talking about, you know.
This is what we're talking about, yeah.
What
entertainment.
Entertainment.
That's the theme of today's show. What is entertainment?
Yeah.
Interesting conversation.
Honestly, the Hunger Games trilogy just keeps coming up with Hunger Games stuff. I mean,
all right,
you know, that whole, the whole concept of that's our entertainment, two people from each district. The rules have been set up that you can't get out of it. You have to sacrifice someone.
Yes.
A boy and a girl, someone from your youth, and you all have to fight it out. And only one person can win. You know, and we're going to televise it for our entertainment.
There you go.
That's, I mean, I just remember, I hadn't read the books, but I remember everyone talking about it, and I thought, all right, I'll go to the movie. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's just, the level of violence was just horrendous, and it was even more hard to watch because these were kids, you know.
I can't watch stuff like I just can't. I can't watch that. I can't watch The Revenant. There's so much I can't watch because of the violence is.
Yeah.
My hand is over my face for half the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So if you think about entertainment.
Entertainment. This really could have been a show on like any podcast. We could have just dropped this show in. I mean, there's so many. This is such an accessible. You know, this would have been talk at Starbucks. So fascinating. Interesting. And refreshing that every once in a while, it's great that you and I have a one-on-one. It's very rare because we're here and devoted to our listeners and our callers and those people in the chat. So we're going to sign off, and we'll see what happens on the next show. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Sunday at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the
feeling to you.
To you. And you have safe travels. Love to
Thank
your family.
You.
And I guess you'll be doing the show from Charleston on Sunday.
Sunday morning, yes. I'll be doing it from Charleston.
Okay, wonderful. Well, okay, travel safe and love to your family.
Thank you. Love y'all.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
That you like.